Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. This is Leanne and Garwin Lenander. We're going to kind of review a little bit of what we talked about last week. We had a comment, a question, and so we're going to go back to talk a little bit about dividends and capital gains and so forth. And I had a question. A friend called me who said that I was downplaying the dividends on a life policy. And he said he thought that was just great, that dividends were just so wonderful. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you have a car and you know the price is $20,000 and this company X charges you $22,000 and then every year they send you back $150, is that a good deal? Well, no. I said, that's what a dividend is. That's an overcharge and they give you that some of that back and they tell you how wonderful it is. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's an overcharge.
And this is on life insurance.
This is for life insurance. Participating whole life. There are just a few companies that are selling those now, but there are a couple, three, four of them, that still sell participating whole life. And it's simply a return of an overcharge. Nothing fancy. That's it. Now, Leanne, let's go on and talk about dividends. You talked about dividends with stocks and mutual funds.
And we'll review this because this is the time of year when they're really coming out. Every quarter we hear about the earnings from different companies. With those earnings, you may hear that they're increasing their dividend or they're going to pay their dividend, but you really hear about it at this time of year. In fact, some of the dividend leaders are companies that have been around a long time. They're the big companies, the blue chip companies. They pay dividends. They have good earnings. And when they have good earnings, they share it with their shareholders. And so some of the dividend leaders out there, I'll just mention a few. And I know they're going to be familiar names to you. For instance, like Waste Management, Clorox, Hasbro, General Mills, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, PepsiCo. Those are really dividend leaders. They get to be very big companies. They get consistent in their dividends. And then they start increasing their dividends as their earnings grow and as their profits grow. Some of these are dividend leaders. They're giving you a nice yield, anywhere from 2.6% to 3.8%. They're really a good way to have an income stream coming in.
Now, this is you like dividends for us older folks.
For the older people. People like dividends because it's an income stream to them. So often what happens is they will go ahead and take the dividend as cash. Now, in some cases, they will let them reinvest the dividends. But quite often, they pay dividends and they'll pay it in cash to you. So that's part of your income.
Income
and you
stream.
And you will pay taxes on it.
So normally the good dividend-paying companies are the bigger
companies. Bigger ones. The small ones are really busy growing. The small ones and the mid-size. And what they do is they take their extra earnings and they plow it back into the company. And then they will keep growing, and then they'll become a mid-sized company, and they'll keep putting their earnings back in until they get to be big companies. And then as they get big companies, they'll probably not only be here, but they'll be in other countries.
They're all over the world, yes.
And they're all over the world. And as they grow and expand and their earnings grow, and as they see real good profits, they need to share those with their shareholders. And that's where the dividends come in. And when they share those with the shareholders have to declare that as income. It's part of their income.
Well, one of the things that many people do to buy when they buy stock is to buy a dividend-paying stock.
Correct.
That's what they really want. They want that growth, and the dividends in their hands or in their pocketbooks to supplement their incomes.
There's a bigger comfort level with the big companies versus the very small companies, because you are taking a chance when you're buying a small company or even a mid-sized company. What's happening is you are looking at the fact you can count on the big company. If we have a real downturn in the market, you can still say, well, this company may not be doing as well, but it's a company that I can depend on. You get into the real small companies, they can really grow. But if you get into a real rough patch, they may go down.
Well, let's just take General Mills, for instance. That was one of the companies that
you mentioned. They've been around a long time.
And they are diversified.
And that's another thing. They're diversified into many different areas. It's not just not one product.
It's not just breakfast food.
That's right.
Which we normally think of when we think of General Mills. But they are diversified. And several of the other companies are the same thing. Typically, they have many different companies that they run, that they can, if one of the things go a little bit sour, the other ones pick them up. So you're not limited to one area of growth.
That's right. They're diversified in what they invest in and in what they put out. So it may be cereal, like General Mills. Maybe it's rice. Maybe it's a whole bunch of different products. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they're very diversified. And General Mills in particular have been raising their dividends almost on a consistent basis over time. They've been around a long time. You can depend on them, and you know that they're going to produce a dividend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing that we're going to see a lot of now are the mutual funds coming out with their capital gains, and they may have dividends too, because these mutual fund companies hold a lot of different companies within their portfolio.
They may hold all six or eight of those.
They may hold all of those and then a bunch of others, but a mutual fund company holds a lot of diversified individual stocks or bonds or combination within their portfolio. This is the time of year when you see most of these companies, mutual fund companies, coming out with their capital gains. It can be short-term or long-term. Now, what happens there?
Yeah, well, first of all, define a capital gain.
A capital gain is if you sold something for a profit.
Okay.
If you've held it for less than a year, it's a short-term capital gain. If you've held it for a year or longer, it's a long-term capital gain. And you are put in a different tax bracket if you're in the short term versus the long term.
Okay.
In other words, you pay a little bit more on taxes on a short term capital gain than you do in a long term capital gain, because basically they're looking at holding them a year or longer. Now, when we look at a capital gain, these mutual funds have all these different stocks within their portfolio. They're going to say, okay, I've sold some of these stocks for a profit, and we've made a gain on it, and they will pass that down to you, the shareholder of that mutual fund. When you're looking at that, you're looking at how many shares you own, and then you look at what they're going to pay back to you in the form of a capital gain to you, and you are taxed on that unless it's in an IRA. So take, for example, this one mutual fund just came out and said that they have $1.53 to $1.63 of capital gains that are coming out now, this quarter that we're in now. So if you take that and you look at 400 shares that you may own in this mutual fund times that $1.53, you will have a capital gain of $612, which is an income to you. And you will have to go ahead and let your tax man know that. They will let you know it.
Could be short-term or could be long-term.
Well, in this case, it's a little bit, very tiny bit of short-term, and a big portion is long-term.
Okay.
But the mutual fund company,
you've got to confuse things, don't you?
They will tell you what it is. They will explain it, believe me. It was real interesting in going through some of these mutual funds, however. There is one. I'm not going to give the names of the mutual funds at this point in time, because there's tons of them out there and they're all coming out now. We've been getting an update almost every day, and more funds are now stating what their capital gains or what their short-term capital gains are going to be. This one particular mutual fund is paying out $8.89 a share. And when you look at that, And that's what their capital gain is going to be. And you take it times your 400 shares. If you have 400 shares, you are going to have a tax bill there of $3,556.
Taxable income.
That's going to be taxable income unless it's
in an IRA.
So what a lot of people will do, if they think that they may have huge capital gains coming down the pike, they may have sold something that they had a loss in to help offset what their capital gains may be. This way, it won't be as big a tax bill.
A little planning, a little foresight will save you some tax dollars.
That's right. When you look in the newspaper, you're going to see that the newspapers are going to tell you the capital gains, and they will also tell you when they're going to come out. There's a date when they say this is how much we're going to pay, and then there's the date when they say they're going to pay it out. So there's a date, and what they're doing with that date that they say this is what the capital gain is going to be to these shareholders, they will actually let you know as a shareholder that you are on their record for having a capital gain coming to you, and then they're going to pay it out to you. They do it to shareholders of records.
Okay.
So that's an important thing for you to remember. You can let those dividends and capital gains, by the way, reinvest. With a mutual fund, a lot of that happens. They will reinvest. But even if they reinvest it, you will have to declare that as income if you're outside of an IRA, because they could have paid it out to you. It doesn't mean that they paid it out, whether it's in or out of an IRA. It just means that they're paying it out. And if you got that as income, even though you reinvested,
you still got to pay taxes.
That means you may have to pay taxes if you're outside an IRA.
Doesn't seem fair.
I know. But now the big thing is, as those dividends reinvest and as you're paying taxes for that along the line, that builds up your base. And therefore, at some point in time, if you get rid of that mutual fund, that becomes part of your cost basis because you've already been taxed on a portion of it. And that's a big thing. You have to look at what your whole situation is and be aware that your cost basis will change because you let those dividends go back in or capital gains go back in and reinvest.
Keep your paperwork.
Keep your paperwork all the time. Be aware of what you have, especially this quarter, because this is the one that's going to be big. We have a ton of mutual funds that are paying out anywhere from a few cents up to, well, like I mentioned, $8 or $9 or $10 a share.
That's really very fat.
That's a lot. And if you're looking at, oh boy, I've got this coming in, and even if I let it reinvest, I'm going to get taxed on that, then you have to think how you're going to handle this with your mutual funds, and are you going to sell something probably then for a loss to offset some of the gains. So just be aware. Keep an eye on what's going on.
We're running to the end, Leanne. This is very interesting. Dividends and capital gains are very important in the growth of portfolios.
That's right, and they will give income to the individual.
And that's really the purpose of doing this. If you have any questions, give us a call at 651-436-3997 or 651-365-5000. We'd love to hear from you, answer any questions, or if you've got a topic you'd like us to cover, let us know.
Experience counts. Now more than ever, when it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 952-835-4136. That's 952-835-4136. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.